states of Krishna consciousness is auspicious. So to enter into the Grihastha Ashram means to serve Krishna with combined force, with renewed vigor. So on this auspicious ceremony, we'll be reading from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation. But it has a happy ending. This is text 51. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Devabhutir uvacha. Atapi me prapanaya abhaya datu arhashi. So I'll chant because there's no words. Devahutir uvacha sarvam tad bhagavan mayam upova apatishutam atapi me prapanaya abhayam datum arhashi. Devahuti,
Devahuti,
Devahuti, uvacha,
said,
sarvam,
all,
tat,
that,
bhagavan,
your lordship,
mayam,
for me,
upovaha,
has been fulfilled.
Patishutam,
promised.
Atati,
yet.
May,
unto me.
Prapanai,
unto one who has surrendered.
Abhayam,
fearlessness.
Datum,
to give.
Arhasi,
you deserve.
Translation. Sri Devahuti said, my Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me. Yet because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too. Please repeat. Sri Devahuti said, my Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me. Yet because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too. Purport. Devahuti requested her husband to grant her something without fear. As a wife, she was a fully surrendered soul to her husband, and it is the responsibility of the husband to give his wife fearlessness. How one awards fearlessness to his subordinate is mentioned in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. One who cannot get free from the clutches of death is dependent, and he should not become a spiritual master, nor a husband, nor a kinsman, nor a father, nor a mother, etc. It is the duty of the superior to give fearlessness to the subordinate. To take charge of someone, therefore, either as father, mother, spiritual master, relative, or husband, one must accept the responsibility to give his ward freedom from the fearful situation of material existence. Material existence is always fearful and full of anxiety. Devahuti is saying, you have given me all sorts of material comforts by your yogic power, and since you are now prepared to go away, you must give me your last reward so that I may get free from this material conditioned life. Translation again. Sri Devahuti said, my Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me, yet because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too. Om Agyan Chandrasya Kinangina Shalakaya Chakshunimitam Janatasmaya Sigatvena Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stavitam Janabhutale Jai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhakti Vrindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Am Him Shrom Om Param Tatakara Divikeshika Jalata Galojana Vikarika Naka Svarsi Vasimha Namaste. So today we are observing the marriage ceremony of Prabhav Das and Jayavadhe Dasi. This marriage ceremony is one of the shamskaras, or the purificatory ceremonies given in human form of life to gradually elevate us to the stage of Krishna consciousness. As Raghunath Prabhu was pointing out this morning, such yajnas are such ceremonies as this are actually meant for purification. So what is the need for purification? Srila Prabhupada once said that in this material world, a boy naturally desires a girl, and a girl naturally desires the association of a boy. That is the nature of the material existence. But if they associate illicitly, that is cause for entanglement in material life. Bhagavatam says that the attraction between man and woman, or male and female, is the basic principle of material existence. But then again, Narada Muni tells Srila Vyasadeva in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, does not the same thing which caused a disease, when used therapeutically, cure the disease? An example given by Srila Prabhupada is that one can become ill by drinking milk in a hot country. Those of us who have been in India, we know, we have the experience that when it's very, very hot and you drink milk, sometimes you get sick. Because milk tends to heat the body, overheat the body, and you can get diarrhea. But you take the same product, milk, and you curdle it, and you make yogurt, and you take that, and that yogurt mixed with banana, that cools the system and cools the system and stops the dysentery. So the same thing which caused the disease, when used therapeutically, cures the disease. So when a man and a woman come together in the material world, the natural attraction is there. When the man and the woman come together in the material world for the purpose of sense gratification, that causes a disease in material life. But when the man and the woman, when the natural inclination, the natural attraction is there, but when it is used for Krishna, for serving Krishna, it cures the disease. It serves and cures it, cure the disease. So man and woman come together for sense gratification, the source of bondage that is called Grihamedi life, and when they come together for the purpose of serving Krishna under the order of the spiritual master, that is called Grihastha life. So when they come together for that purpose, because the purpose is one, therefore they're considered to be one body. Because they come together for the same purpose, which is ultimately to serve Guru and Krishna, they're considered like one body. And actually the wife is considered the better half. The better half of the body. Why? Because she assists the husband in so many ways. Without the wife's assistance, it would be very difficult for the husband to accomplish his religious duties, because he's very busy maintaining the family, working, and so forth. So the wife creates a nice favorable atmosphere. She attends to all the details of yajna and sacrifice, making it much easier for the husband to accomplish the human form of life. So in that sense, she's considered to be like the better half. So now you're complete, Prabhupada. And whereas individuals, they could do something. As a couple, they can do more. All of us are weak in this material existence because we have come under the influence of the material energy. But you take two things which are singular and you put them together, they can become very strong. United we stand, divided we fall. So marriage is there actually to make one stronger in Krishna consciousness. As it was being discussed this morning, everyone should know what is his ashram and his varna and properly situate himself, so they can serve Krishna to the best of his ability. So marriage is a facility the one to come together with husband or with wife accordingly, and serve Krishna with renewed strength, renewed vigor. And whereas individuals, they can do something, it's expected, now they'll do more. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he once commented on the importance of the Grihastha Ashram, or the importance or the appreciation he had of his Grihastha couples. He said that my Guru Maharaj, he created an army of sannyasis to preach, but I will create an army of Grihasthas to preach. And we see that the beginnings of Krishna consciousness here, even in this English yatra, it was Grihastha couples who came originally. I think that we'll be seeing some of them at the upcoming reunion in 10 days or 2 weeks. So, my Guru Maharaj, he created an army of sannyasis. I am going to create an army of Grihasthas. So, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the man and the woman come together in marriage, live together, for that purpose of serving Krishna. This is the main consideration in marriage. Actually, it's the main consideration in any activity we do. All rules and regulations culminate in the one instruction: always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So the main consideration of married life is devotional service, as it is in any ashram: brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. And if the couple makes that the basis of their relationship, then any differences that may be there, they can be overcome. It's a nice verse I'm trying to find. Sometimes there's differences. Even in grihastha life, sometimes there's differences. But the main purpose is to serve Krishna, they can be overcome. They're considered more or less insignificant. Chanaka Pandit, he says, the funeral ceremony of a sage who died in the forest, a fight between two goats, a thunderclap in the morning, and a quarrel between husband and wife, all begin in grand style, but the outcome is insignificant. Of course, in the case of Prabhupada and Jayarati, many devotees have remarked, because of their Krishna conscious background, this is a proper evolution, that both of them went through the Gurukul system. Both of them were trained as brahmachari or brahmacharini. So this is the natural evolution. First one, according to Ranasham Dharma, is trained, she is trained in our present ISKCON society in the brahmacharya or brahmacharini ashram, where one learns perfect control of the senses, one knows the shastra, one knows the science of Krishna consciousness, then one can enter into the grihastha life responsibly. So because of their background, because of their training, everyone has great hopes for this marriage. Many devotees have remarked that they're very compatible. There's few differences. Actually, compatibility is an important consideration in Vedic marriage. It's a science. Chanaka Pandit says, apritak, as far as possible, when you try to match the prospective bride and groom, apritak, it should be without differences. He goes on to say, a wise man should marry a girl from a responsible family, even if she's deformed. But he should not marry a girl from a low-class family, even if she's good. Why? Because marriage of equal status is preferable. So here we have a very nice, compatible couple. Generally, in Vedic culture, the boy and the girl, they were married according to caste. Because naturally, in the caste of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, naturally, according to that caste, one is known by his caste according to his work and to his activities. Naturally, the qualities will be the same. So generally in Vedic culture, a boy and a girl were married from the same caste. And often the astrologer was called in and he did a compatibility chart. Therefore, there was good hope for the marriage because of that compatibility. Nowadays, of course, these things are not taken into consideration. Marriage is simply on the basis of sex. That is the nature of love in this material world. That I love you, or I'm attracted to you. I want to be with you, because you can satisfy my senses. And you want to be with me, because I can satisfy your senses. But such relationships are always temporary, no doubt. Because what is the nature of any type of sense gratification? It's temporary and it results in frustration. If we could just learn this one verse from the Bhagavad Gita, we would never again be attracted to sense gratification. By contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops an attraction. From that attraction, lust comes. But what is the result of lust? Anger. Anger. It never says satisfaction, it says anger. And then one loses one's intelligence. And then one falls down into the whirlpool of material life. So therefore, it is sure and certain that any relationship which is based on a material attraction, wholly and solely, it will be a frustrating relationship. But as far as possible, if we can remove those material considerations and simply serve Krishna together, based on, well, to begin with duty and eventually love and devotion, then those relationships will be very fulfilling and very satisfying. So that is the basis of a Krishna conscious relationship. It is not based on sex desire, but it is based on the desire to serve Krishna. So therefore, there's no divorce in Krishna consciousness. There's no need, there shouldn't be divorce in Krishna consciousness, because the marriage should be based on the principle of devotional service. When there is divorce in human society, and Prabhupada was very adamant about this fact, at least in the beginning, he wanted that there be no separation. Actually, I believe in the vows they're taking today. The vow is there that there shall be no separation. Whereas a non-devotee takes his vows very whimsically, a devotee takes his vows very seriously. The vow is taken in front of the Vaishnavas, the spiritual master, the fire, the deities. Those vows are taken very seriously. Then there's no divorce. Because why? What is the principle of divorce? Divorce encourages promiscuity within human society. It's stated, Chanakapanda says, that a man who dies a debtor becomes an enemy to his children. And a woman who marries twice, she's also an enemy to her children. So there should be no divorce. And divorce is actually a material consideration. Actually, a devotee, he can live with anyone, provided all the members are Krishna conscious. The karmics can't live with anyone, because it's the material consideration. Even if there's only two of them left on the planet, you know, they'll fight somehow or other. But devotees, because the principle is Krishna, life is very harmonious. Prabhupada gave the example, if you throw rocks into the water, if you throw them in different parts of the lake, then the ripples that are created, they'll clash, create chaos and havoc. But if each of those pebbles is thrown in the exact same place, then the waves that come out make concentric circles and everything is very harmonious. So if the husband and wife keep the central purpose of the relationship to serve Krishna, everything is very harmonious. But if we develop some separate interests, then that's when we experience some difficulty. And that is why, actually, in Krishna consciousness, we can all live together very harmoniously, because our main interest is to serve Krishna. We've seen this principle very practically in places like Russia. We've been to temples which are the size, well, the temple room is the size of the back room there, where we prepare, you know, the plates for serving the deity. We've been there, we fit maybe 40, I'm not exaggerating, 50 officials this week. We put that many devotees in a room and they've lived there and they've used the bathroom facilities and the kitchen and everything because the main purpose is to serve Krishna. Whereas with children of people that can't even live together, two or three, devotees can live together so many because their purpose is. So that is the success of married life also. If we make the basis of the relationship service to Guru and Krishna, then we can live together very harmoniously. There will never be any consideration of divorce. Actually, divorce is a very unfortunate situation because a woman becomes unprotected and thus easily exploited. So actually, a woman should always be protected. Vedic culture means a woman is protected in her youth by her father. She's protected when she's of marital age, puberty, she's protected by her husband. And old age, in the event that the husband passes away or he takes the renounced order, then the woman is protected again by her elder children, her elder son. course, so that is the main duty of the husband, actually. We'll speak about the duties of husband and wife. That was being discussed this morning by Raghunath also. That is the main duty of the husband, is to protect his wife. Of course, what does it mean the husband should protect his wife? Can he protect her from disease? Can he protect her from old age? Maybe in many cases he'd like to. Can he protect her from death? No. Mari Krishna Raki Ke Raki Krishna Mari. This is the material world. If one thinks that the husband can give that type of protection, then one is an illusion. In that sense, the husband is considered like a fallible soldier. He cannot give that protection. So what does it mean that when the woman enters into Grihastha Ashram, married life, that she receives protection from her husband? That means that the husband protects her from illusion. He cannot protect her. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. There's danger at every step in this material world. I was checking into the airport the other day, and there was a big, big sign hanging over my head. It said, Singapore Airlines. So I was doing my ticket, and I had my bag, everything. I thought the whole thing worked out very nice. I put my ticket, I got my boarding pass. I stepped back 2 feet. The next man came in just seconds after I stepped back. He bent his head over to give his ticket. Boom, that sign came down, cracked his head wide open, fell down unconscious. 2 seconds earlier, I'd been there. What did I chant? Raki Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Raki Ke. So there's danger at every step in this material world. So this material energy is so powerful. Who can protect anyone from anything in this world? So what does it mean? Does a husband have to carry an AK-47 at every minute, you know, to protect his wife from the dangers? Is that what he's expected to do? No, that is not possible. This material energy is very difficult to overcome. So what does it mean? What is the main duty of the husband? How is he meant to protect his wife? He is meant to protect her from something which is even more sinister than disease, old age, and death. Krishna speaks of these things as evils. He says an intelligent person, a wise man, should always be aware of the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease in this material world. The saintly person should not become complacent in his spiritual life, but should always remember the reality of the material world, how these miseries, abhrama bhuvano loka, punar arjuta arjana, mamopetiti kuntiya punarjana, jidhiti. So as to always keep alert as to the ultimate goal of life, which is Krishna consciousness, one should understand that these miseries are always present. So what is the husband to protect her from? Illusion. That illusion is our greatest enemy, the material illusion, which causes us to forget Krishna. Shri Prahlad Maharaj came before Lord Nrisimhadev. Here's Lord Nrisimhadev. He is anger personified. He's so angry at the demons for harassing his pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. He's exhibiting the anger personified. He was Jwala. Jwala means he was so angry that fire was coming from his mane. So Prahlad Maharaj came before him and he said, "My dear Lord, I am not afraid of your piercing eyes and your wedge-like ears and your sharp teeth and your tongue, which is like a dueling sword. Or your flaming, your Jwala mane. I'm not afraid. Or your sharp nails, which tear apart the demons, tear the demons asunder. I'm not afraid of this." He said, "What am I afraid of? My only fear is that due to the influence of this material energy, I may forget your lotus feet." How is it? This is the problem with the devotees in Western culture. They're sometimes not afraid of Maya. Because Maya is so powerful. So here's Prahlad Maharaj. "This is my greatest fear, that I will forget your lotus feet. I have no other fear. Whatever danger may come in this material world, let it come. But never let me forget your lotus feet." So this is even more precarious situation than old age, disease, and death. These are things we have to tolerate to make the best use of a bad bargain. Devotee will tolerate those things. The one thing he hopes he'll never be overcome by is illusion, to forget the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is this illusion, this is what the husband is meant to protect the wife from. This is what it means to be. Because you can't protect the other things. But if you're a good devotee husband, you can protect your wife from the illusion of material existence by being a good example. Prabhupada said that 75% of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is simply based on association. It is through association that we remember Krishna. Actually, that is the meaning of Vaishnava. Vaishnava means someone who reminds you of Krishna. That's why we're very proud to dress the way we do. It's a service to humanity. It's a service. Because just by seeing a devotee, someone automatically thinks, oh, Hare Krishna. Favorably or unfavorably. If you repeat the name of Krishna, you get the benefit. So as soon as they see a devotee, they're reminded of Krishna. And to that degree, that we feel elevated. In other words, when we associate with the principle of association should be based on how much that devotee reminds me of Krishna. If associating with a devotee for some time, then we get into prajalpa. We forget Krishna, that's not very good. But we hanker for the association of those devotees who increase our Krishna consciousness, isn't it? That's our natural, our prandana hai. The Lord of our life is Krishna. And if that person can bring me closer to Krishna, I worship his feet. That is the principle. So we're always hankering for association with devotees who can remind us of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So that is the principle of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava means one who reminds you of the Lord. And in that person's association, by serving that person, you become Krishna conscious. So the husband, the best service he can render his wife is to be a good devotee. And a woman who has a Krishna-conscious husband, she's most fortunate. Because she automatically shares in her husband's Krishna-conscious advantage. That is stated by Srila Prabhupada in his books as a special concession for the ladies. That they automatically, Prabhupada even goes so far as to say, that even after the man renounces family life, whatever progress he makes, because she served him, whatever progress he makes in Krishna consciousness, she automatically shares in that advancement. How wonderful is this process? A little service rendered to the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. It is so wonderful. So that is the main duty of the husband. According to circumstances, he may be rich or poor. That's not to be taken into consideration. In the material world, a woman wants to marry a rich man, prince, charming, and this, you know. That's not the main consideration. Actually, in India, the girls are taught to worship Lord Shiva, to get a good husband. But look at Shiva. Shiva, Parvati is married to Shiva, and Parvati, you know, she didn't even have a house. Lord Shiva lives under a banyan tree on Mount Kailash. And she's in charge of the whole material energy. Parvati, Durga, Durga Ma, she has different names. You know, she's in charge of the whole show. She doesn't even have her own house. She has to live under a tree. And her husband, you know, he hardly pays her any attention. He's always Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But she's not, but please give me bangles, give me this, give me that. No, he may give some. That is also the duty of husband. He must also give that facility. But she's not bothering him. She's very content because her husband is the greatest Vaishnava. Vaishnavaha ita sambhu. And of all the devotees, Lord Shiva is the greatest. Why? Well, there's many reasons. Although he's surrounded by ghosts and hobgoblins and ganja and smeared with ashes in the crematorium, he never forgets Krishna. His mind is always fixed on Krishna and service to Krishna to elevate all these fallen souls that have taken shelter at his lotus. So the consideration for a girl is not that dhanam, dhanam, shundarim, wealth, opulence, good education, name, fame. That is not the primary concern. The primary concern is that she gets a good husband who's Krishna conscious. So I think we can all agree that Jai Radhe is very fortunate. She has a very nice Krishna conscious husband, Prabhupada Das. So this is his duty to give her that protection by always encouraging her in Krishna consciousness. The best encouragement is example. course, if two are there, then one's very fortunate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that to Haridas Thakur. Some people preach, but they don't set a good example. And some people set a good example, but they don't preach. But because you preach, and you set a good example, you're the spiritual master of the three worlds. But that is the duty of the husband. One should not enter into, we were hearing this morning, one should not enter into grihastha life simply as a license for sense qualification. It is very responsible. Like any duty in Krishna consciousness, you receive a responsibility from the spiritual master, from higher authority, and if you successfully execute that responsibility, then you get the blessing. That's what service is. Service is simply getting more and more responsibility in Krishna consciousness. So if one accepts the responsibility of a nice Krishna conscious life, and he takes care of her like that, and he gets the blessings of this person. So then what is the duty of the wife in this regard? If one wife is fortunate. The duty of the wife is to reciprocate in service and remain loyal and chaste to her devotee husband. Again, material considerations are not so important. One time Prabhupada was traveling on a rickshaw in Delhi, and he saw that one beautiful young girl, she was very beautiful, she must have only been, I think, 16 or 17. She was tending to this horribly disfigured man, who Prabhupada could understand was her husband. So Prabhupada was very impressed that although the husband had become disfigured due to some unfortunate accident, the wife had not abandoned her. Now people take responsibility so lightly. They just, at the slightest inconvenience, at the slightest disagreement, there's separation. But that is not Krishna consciousness. Whether we enter the relationship as guru, disciple, parent, teacher, husband, wife, we should take the responsibilities very seriously. So Prabhupada noted that here was a disfigured man, perhaps by fire or disease, but his wife was tending him, just like, you know, a very humble servant, taking care of him. Of her husband. So therefore we can understand that material consideration is not so important. The principle is that a woman should remain loyal and chaste. Actually, this is a woman's most important quality, suggests. It's the most important quality for all of us. Chastity to our authorities. Tony Kapani says, the beauty of a cuckoo is in its sweet notes. The beauty of an ugly person is in his eloquent scholarship. The beauty of a sage is in his ability to forgive others. And the beauty of a woman is in her chastity. Actually, that chastity, that loyalty of a husband, of a wife to her husband, to serve her husband and not consider such a relationship with any other man, that is a very important social fabric of human society. And also it's important for her to make her progress in Krishna consciousness. That chastity is actually honored even by the demigods. There's an intimate relationship between human society, demigods, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If there's nice cooperation, we can be successful materially and spiritually. So just to show how one can get the blessings of the demigods in this context, this respect, there's the story of Savitri. Now Savitri, she was due to be engaged to a young man, and she became attached to that man. She was meant to go through with the marriage, but then she found out that that person, that man, he was destined to die within 1 year. So, but she didn't consider, no, let me, I will go through with the relationship. So she got married, and sure enough, Yamaraj came after 1 year and said, excuse me, I have to take your husband. My husband. No, no, his time has come, so away, up, up, and away. He took the husband towards Yamaloka. Savitri, due to her chastity, she had mystic powers. Due to her loyalty, she had these. She was an advanced personality. So she flew out to Yamaraj. She said to Yamaraj, you're taking my husband. Please give me one benediction at least. Then I'll have a child. I'll have a son. So Yamaraj took some compassion. All right, I'm taking your husband, so I'll give you this benediction. You can have a son. So she said, thank you very much. Now will you please give me back my husband? Because as a proper Vedic wife, I cannot conceive with anyone but my husband. So you've given me this boon, but in order for this boon to be realized, you have to give me back my husband. So Yamaraj said, all right, Hare Krishna, you got me there. And he gave back the savagery. So Prabhupada, when he was explaining, of course, we know this story, it's been quoted many times, but I recently heard a tape, and when Prabhupada was explaining this story, he said that even the demigods are attracted or appreciate the chastity of a woman. So that chastity is seen in her menial service to the husband. Actually, the chaste wife is dedicated to serving her husband. We should not think that service is some type of exploitation when the wife serves the husband in a very nice way. Shushusho shuddha dhanasya vasudeva katharuji siyan mahatsyaneya vipra punyatir. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of God. So this is the result. We serve each other humbly, even meanly. It's not demeaning. Oh, I have to serve this person, to serve my husband. He's always asking me, I earn his dhoti and do this. And the wife is saying, you know, I need a new sari. Yogya. He said there are some concessions. I must do this, I must wash the clothes, I must do that, I must clean the house, you know. Why? No. We must always remember whom we are serving. Prabhupada said whenever we get service in Krishna consciousness, we should be very grateful. We should consider that after millions and millions of lifetimes of serving the losing energy, Krishna has given me some service, some devotional service. How fortunate. So if one is fortunate to serve a Vaishnava, then Sian Mahat Sevya Vitta Punya Tirtha Nishaya. Great advancement is coming. Actually, just like savagery, if a woman serves her husband, she makes progress, she can even get mystic powers. Of course, we're not after mystic powers, but maybe we can use them. So I was reading this morning, preparing for the talk, I was surprised to come across a purport where Prabhupada said a woman can attain mystic powers by remaining chaste and faithful to her husband. And he gives the example of Gandhari. Gandhari was very faithfully served Dhritarashtra. Even though Dhritarashtra was blind, she covered her own eyes so as not to be superior to her husband. Prabhupada said that when there's a disagreement between husband and wife, it's the wife who should take the submissive position. Because otherwise the fight will go on and on and on and on and on. So to make compatibility in the relationship, then the wife, if it's something which is not so significant, then the wife should take that opposite. So that was perfectly shown by Gandhari. When she found out that her husband was blind, she covered her eyes. But because of that loyalty to her husband, serving her devotee husband, because of that service, later on, after she found out that all her sons were killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, she became very angry. And Yudhishthir came before her, under that blindfold, she saw his toe. Burned his toe with her vision. So this is an example of how a woman can develop so many qualities. Draupadi, actually, by her service, she received the boon from for her cooking. Durvasana. He was very pleased. She cooked a nice one. So she got the boon that as long as she didn't take prasadam, she could cook unlimitedly out of a pot. Even Radharani, who's the best example, she received the blessing that her cooking will always taste like nectar. So each of us attains greatness according to our nature. To try to act according to another's nature, that is artificial. So I say it's natural to serve, and all of us find ourselves in a serving capacity. Unfortunately, in the material world, we were never satisfied with that service. We were always exploited. When we come to Krishna consciousness and our Krishna conscious relationships, we find the satisfaction of serving each other. In the material world, the woman tries to act like the man tries to act like the woman. This is all due to the enjoying spirit, which is symptomatic of envy of Krishna. Krishna alone is the supreme enjoyer, and we are his servants. When we act as the enjoyer, we're unhappy. But as soon as we act in the capacity of servant, we become happy. Does Krishna accept our service? Directly, no. Many times removed. Das, anu, das, 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 das. So marriage is a facility to serve the supreme personality of God to his humble service. Be it a wife or be it a husband. We're not embarrassed to serve like that. This is the disease of the conditioned soul. One time Srila Prabhupada, he went to India with about five or six sannyasis. So they arrived in Delhi and Srila Prabhupada went off to his personal quarters And all the sannyasis sat down and said, all right, where's the prasadam? But no one had cooked prasadam. There were all the ingredients for cooking. But because, at least in that situation, they were thinking, I'm sannyasi. Someone should cook for me. Why should I cook? There's no one cooked. And all the sannyasis were going very hungry because none of them would go in the kitchen and cook. So Prabhupada heard about that. After many hours, they're still sitting, you cook. Oh, you cook. I'm too busy. You cook. Yeah. So Prabhupada heard the argument going on. He came and cooked. Prabhupada personally came and cooked the prasadam for them. They were burying him. And by that, they could understand the bliss of service. We don't want to be the master. We want to be the Prabhupada is teaching us the bliss of service. Whether it's in a guru-disciple relationship, whether it's in the parent-teacher relationship, or as in the case today, where it's in the husband and wife relationship. It's a relationship of service. So if the husband can serve the wife by giving her nice protection in Krishna consciousness, and the wife can serve the husband by making nice arrangements for his service to Krishna, they're very compatible relationship, both materially and spiritually, then there's every chance of success. So we wish them all success in their marriage today. Actually, we'd like to ask, nothing we can do without the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Hari Guru Vaishnava. Without the mercy of God, without the mercy of spiritual masters, without the mercy of the devotees. So they're taking this step forward in devotional service. So we should all combine together. Everyone give their blessings so the marriage will be successful, Krishna conscious, and we'll be looking forward to the nice results such as Jai Radhe's mystic powers. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Govinda.